Welcome to Settler, Oregon. This is the fourth book in the Rifter series. Enjoy. Chapter 1. On the library wall, the paint a shade of green darkened by decades, the portrait of Caslow County's first librarian shrieked, 8 hours until the season of monsters begins. Most people called it summer. Dalen Long paused, her mock battle suspended mid-thrust. She saluted her best friend, the ghost who lived in the painting, and drew in a deep breath. Thanks for keeping track of monster o'clock as I asked, Cordelia. At midnight, Dalen would face the monsters and give a report that, if she twitched wrong, would kill her and doom the planet. No pressure. Monsters and a looming do-or-die test were one thing, but the most important thing was contact with her sister. 8 hours until Dalen could speak to Charming and, hopefully, hug her until dawn. Charming had been stuck on the other side of the rift for 8 months, stuck on worlds populated with monsters. As a kid, Charming hadn't been able to watch cartoons whenever the villains came on. She'd burrow her face into Dalen's side and cover her ears, waiting for Dalen to give the okay. Stomach squeezing, Dalen's muscles quivered. Victories against one monster took the combined smarts and seasoned battle skills of 7 warriors in town. Yet, she could believe nothing other than her sister had survived. She had braided her sister's hair, had bandaged her scrapes, had helped with homework, and had told her stories at bedtime. To keep the nagging worries about Charming manageable, Dalen had toiled over the winter sparring with the other warriors and becoming a master at wielding her staff. Her honed skills would help win the coming challenges, and in doing so, she would save her sister. Which was all that mattered. Charming was the sole reason Dalen continued to live in a dinky town in the middle of nowhere. To anyone who didn't live in the vicinity of Settler, Oregon, this wasn't a library. It was a small house with neat stacks of books, a large desk, an ancient copier, and 2 wooden tables for patrons who rarely came. A bead of sweat trickled down Dalen's nose. She swiped it off, the back of her wrist glistening in the brash rays slanting past the window pane. Either I'm ready or I'm not. Tonight will tell. The painting of Cordelia Swit thumped, and the long-dead woman materialized over the massive cedar desk. She had the expression of a bulldog with wide cheeks and a hardened gaze. Age had softened the cut of her stern jowls, yet the lace collar did nothing to gentle her, merely adding to her righteousness. She cleared her throat, which came out as a ghostly howl. Her eyebrows rose, and she pursed her lips for a full minute. Dalen smiled. Cordelia smoothed the sides of her swept-up bun. I've no doubts you'll triumph. I appreciate your faith. Dalen stared at the white staff in her hands that had become her special weapon. I'll be on my way after one more round with the nonfiction shelves. Dalen didn't resemble the first librarian at all. High cheeks mirrored the slant of her aquiline nose and added a verve to her dark eyes. She favored her estranged father's Mediterranean looks, except for the imposing height and broad frame. Those she had inherited from a Polish grandmother. Cordelia folded her hazy hands and drifted closer. Put your energy where it matters. It's time to take your true place among the Rifters. Hardly. Dalen had been a Rifter for a scant year. Her former boss's death didn't qualify her to become leader. Her natural talents didn't qualify her either, nor her need to save her sister. What Earth needed was experience and someone who didn't have secrets. My place is to save my sister. Dalen's throat tightened. She gripped her white staff and thwapped it against the floor-to-ceiling shelf of reference books, then speared Volume K. After losing her job and robbed of her last paycheck in New York City, Dalen had moved to Settler because Charming offered a job, a place to live, and sympathetic hugs. Only when Dalen had arrived, Charming had already gone through the rift to another universe, an action forbidden by the governors, the beings who police the rift. Dalen let the staff slip and toyed with the bracelet on her wrist. The polished flat stones were leafy fossils found in the fossil bed just up the street. Charming had made the bracelet before she had disappeared. Dalen hugged it to her chest. To lead the Rifters, she would have to betray Charming. If Dalen didn't confess what her sister had done and give her up, the governors would carry out their death sentence on Dalen and the other Rifters. Dalen didn't want to kill anyone, and she couldn't doom Charming. If Dalen remained in the shadows and kept her secrets, everyone would live. I can't give her up. Fingers clutching the staff, she drew it over her head and charged at the Complete History of Oregon Volume 3. The stick hit with a solid clunk, vibrating up Dalen's arms, echoing through the stacks of moldering books. She pivoted to the right and smacked the self-help section. Cordelia floated over the floor and made herself as solid as possible, keeping in front of Dalen. Dalen lunged left. So did Cordelia. Dalen ducked and pivoted right. Cordelia didn't budge. "This is the wrong thing to be stubborn about," Cordelia said. "Charming needs me." "Yes, to take charge of this world. Trust your sister." "Your first lesson was to trust absolutely." The white staff spoke in Dalen's mind. "Do as Cordelia says and trust your sister." Dalen frowned at the staff. Remnants of a monster albino tree that had wreaked havoc last year, it contained the soul of the monster tree and the mind of Sabina Staley, former boss and head of the Rifters. Sabina had been a casualty in the fight with the tree, and the tree had absorbed her consciousness. For a moment, Dalen's eyes misted. She stood stock still and hung on every syllable echoing in her head. Sabina's voice had become weaker over the winter and had gone silent the past month. "I thought I lost you," Dalen whispered. "I've blended deeper with Albin." Albin was the name Sabina had given the tree, now Dalen's staff. "Our seamless union will help when facing the governors." Dalen refused to utter the tree's new name, not until after it made the report. The albino tree had been employed by a governor to spy on the Rifters. The tree and Dalen had practiced a modified version of the truth 50 times a day since September, making the lie part of the fabric of their merged thoughts. Had they practiced enough? Dalen's mouth went dry. "Time to stop the mock war and run through the report one more time." Dalen set the staff on the desk and grabbed the towel sprawled over the ink blotter. There was also a rotary phone on the desk. Dalen dabbed the soft towel over her damp skin. "You won't be alone." Cordelia's long skirt billowed around her feet, as indistinct as a smudge. "Francine will be with me. She'll begin my training as Tracer." Francine Storm was a fellow Rifter and owned the general store. "The training is irrelevant. Concentrate on aiding Albin." "I don't need to be told." How could she forget? One slip and Dalen would doom her sister and any chance Earth had of surviving a coming war. "I'll stand strong." Her shoulders straightened. "I'll be there to add what shielding I can." Cordelia spread her see-through hands. "I won't risk you." Dalen reached for Cordelia, and her hand passed through a cold patch of air, landing on nothing. "Don't put yourself in danger." "Not on my account." "The governors pose no threat to me. There is little I can do to affect your dimension. I cease to be a Rifter on the day of my death. Either way, I won't chance losing you. You and the staff are the only ones I can truly confide in. The only ones I can talk to about Charming and her secrets." How sad was it Dalen's best friends were a ghost and a stick? "There are others, actual humans. Earl Black and his band. A relative of yours as well. Cobb. Dalen's baby brother. He had come to Settler in September at Charming's request. Charming had sent him a package with instructions to visit Dalen in Settler on the very day the rift sealed shut for the season. Dalen had to protect him. He faced the same doom if the governors found out what he knew. "I wish he wasn't involved." Dalen huffed, blowing stray hair out of her face. The inky tresses fluttered upward and settled back over her long nose. Charming should have left him out of this. She pulled the elastic out of her hair and gave her shoulder-length tresses a quick brush with her fingers. Cordelia rose higher off the floor. The hovering didn't help her height. She was still a head shorter than Dalen's 6 feet. "He chooses to be here. Because he'll refuse Charming and I nothing. She plucked her denim blouse off the back of her desk chair and buttoned it up over her tank top. "Stupid loyalty," says the kettle. "You don't run away from Charming's demands." Running away was what Dalen's mother had done. "I won't leave her." Dalen raised her chin and opened the bottom desk drawer. She pulled out her canvas messenger bag and tied her staff to the laces she had sewn onto the bag. "Yet you daydream constantly of a normal life. Like with a certain Detective Browder Washbrook." Browder Washbrook had first come to Settler investigating a missing person, a person ensnared by an albino tree. Somehow, Settler had kept the truth from him, and he probably knew. He kept coming back and visiting the library. Cordelia didn't think it was the books or the town's mysteries that had him returning. Dalen had begun to believe her, but she couldn't. Heat creeping into her cheeks, she slung the bag over her shoulder and shut off the lights. There was one picture window beside the glass door. She drew the blinds on the window and the door. Romance is a dumb fantasy. The rift, monsters, and threats from other universes are reality. She laughed. A year ago, she would have said the opposite. Pausing with her hand on the doorknob, she blew Cordelia a kiss. "I've some things to do before standing guard. See you in the morning." Tonight, Cordelia's ghostly form merged with the portrait behind the desk. Dalen shook a finger. "I can't be the Rifter's leader, but I can be yours. I need to be able to trust you." "Absolutely." Frowning, Dalen shot one more warning look at her friend before securing the locks. What good did warnings do? Cordelia did as she pleased. She had when she was alive. Death hadn't changed her. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and Settler was as quiet as if it didn't exist. The streets were empty of people and cars. The library was on the main street, Brucker Avenue, which ran east and west. On one end rose Swit Peak. At the west end, Gold Lake shimmered. Its twin, East Lake, couldn't be seen from town, obscured by an old pumice dome. The hint of summer fell on Dalen's skin. She walked toward the lake, in the direction of downtown Settler, 9 whole blocks of it. At the corner, she crossed the street and approached a ramshackle building that used to be a dairy. It now housed several offices, including her brother's. Between the handyman's office and the lawyer's rose a narrow set of metal stairs. Dalen climbed up and knocked on a door without a sign. A yellow shade over the window prevented her from peeking inside. She knocked again, longer and louder. With an electronic whir, the camera mounted above the door pointed its lens straight at her. A voice crackled from a tiny speaker welded to the camera. "Use your key, Day." She narrowed her dark eyes. "Yeah, the 20 steps from your couch to the door is too much of a strain. I wouldn't want you to break a sweat." On the keyring with her library keys was a second keyring for Cobb's office. An old-fashioned skeleton key undid the brass lock. A modern key in a brilliant blue undid the deadbolt. She pushed down the brass handle and let herself inside. The office consisted of a tiny reception area with a dining chair, a TV table from the 1960s, and an empty floor-to-ceiling bookshelf. A door with a frosted glass panel at the top led to the inner office. The interior was dim except for the glow from a computer. Dalen skirted past the flimsy table topped with a metal tray depicting Quickdraw McGraw. She pushed the inner door wider and found her brother lying on a modern faux suede overstuffed couch, a laptop perched on his stomach. He wasn't any taller than Dalen, but had a wide, imposing build, which made the laptop appear tiny. The couch was shoved up under a row of windows with a view of Swit and Gold Peaks when the shades weren't drawn. In the center of the room was a substantial oak desk and a leather wingback chair. "People are going to get suspicious if you don't attempt to make this place look more like a business." Dalen plopped down on the burgundy leather wingback. Cobra Munde Buckley, known as Cobb, had a dark complexion, hair, and eyes. He, Dalen, and their sister Charming all had different fathers, so their appearances had little in common. Their souls were where the similarities ran deep. A warm twinkle in his eyes mellowed Cobb's square jaw and gave the impression he was always smiling. He cocked an eyebrow. Seriously? With the crazy going on in Settler, is anyone going to notice my office doesn't have a sign? The wingback wheeled easily across the floor when Dalen pushed with her feet. Behind the desk was an old counter from a diner. It served as a kitchenette. Cobb lived in this room more than in the cottage where Dalen stayed. Granted, there was barely room for one person in the cottage, so Dalen didn't give him too much grief. Part of the counter had been converted into a refrigerator. Dalen fished out a Lemmy soda. The general store stocked all kinds of vintage sodas. She popped off the lid with the bottle opener attached to her keychain. You need to make up your mind. Do you live here or work here? Both. No decision needs to be made. She drained half the bottle. People in town want to give you business, but they don't know what you do. They know I fix computers. There's nothing more to know. Cobb's large hands paused over the keyboard. What do you want? Are you making any progress? I tell you everything every day. Why do you keep asking? He showed her the screen. Charming had carefully hidden a flash drive filled with encrypted files. Cobb had spent the winter working on the files, and a letter popped up now and then. Yet the files remained a puzzle. He had discovered U since yesterday, which made the title of the first document more legible. U-E-R-T-T-E-U-R-E. Dalen squinted. I still can't make sense of it. She fished a journal out of her messenger bag. Battered and old, the journal had her name on it in faded gold lettering. It was held shut by a clasp. A crystal she wore on a chain around her neck opened it when she touched the crystal to the lock. She poised a pen over a clean page. These files were encrypted for a reason, Cobb said. What if someone finds your journal and figures out what we're doing? Who and what? We don't know what we're doing. I don't know how someone else will figure it out. You told me the walls have eyes in this town and the air has ears. True. She shut the journal and buried it in the bottom of her bag. From now on, no evidence of anything we do on Charming's behalf. Her fingers drummed on the canvas of her bag. With the rift opening, we'll have to be extra careful. Anything you leave in this office should be about your schoolwork and fixing computers. Oh, I'm careful, sister. He pointed at a shelf running around the entirety of the room. Set upon it were columns of eye agate in regular intervals. Copper wire wound around the stones and connected them to a Tesla generator. Flip the switch. She lifted her butt out of the chair to reach the switch. The generator hummed and power surged through the wires. Energy poured from the stones and added a tint of orange to the room. We can't rely on stones, wires, and rift voodoo, she said. We need more security. Agreed. We should quit speaking of certain subjects altogether while the rift is open. He pushed himself up to sitting. Okay. Dalen tapped her finger against her lips, her brow furrowing. It's my sincerest hope Cousin Minnie will make contact tonight. We speak of Cousin Minnie too much. People are going to figure out we mean Charming. The door to Cobb's office swung wider. A man in his early 30s rapped his knuckles against the frosted glass. Dressed in a short-sleeve white button shirt and neatly pressed khakis, he took off his aviator sunglasses and tucked them into his shirt pocket, the pocket sporting an Oregon State Detective's badge. Detective Browder Washbrook. Dalen couldn't swallow. How much had the policeman heard?